Luke chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners. Any sinners here this morning? All the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Aren't you glad that he does still? Let's pray. Father, bless now these minutes as we consider thy word. May they minister grace to the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a story. The Lord calls it a parable. In verse 3 it says, and he spake this parable unto them. Well, when I read it, it seems like there's three parables, but this is a trinity. The Lord is explaining how a person who is a sinner can get into the kingdom of heaven. And you and I have learned the secret of that, and the whole world needs to learn that as well. When I heard the gospel for the first time at age 21, I wondered, how come I never heard this before? I grew up in the church. I was baptized. I sang in the children's choir. I rang the bell in the choir loft on Sunday morning, and the bell would peal through the streets of New York City. People would come and worship, and I was an acolyte, which meant I lit the candles every Sunday morning. I walked down a very, very, very long aisle carrying a lighted taper, and I lit the candles. And then after the speaking, which sometimes seemed to take forever, I got a cue, and I went out, and I extinguished the candles, and everybody went home. And when I heard the gospel for the very first time, I struggled with it because I was a card-carrying member and a good person. Did you ever hear of Minnesota Nice? How does a place like Minneapolis, where my relatives moved from Scandinavia to the middle of America, become Mogadishu? What happened is that we have Christian sleeper cells all through America, call them churches, Christian sleeper cells all through America, and they need to wake up and they need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ while there's still time. And so when I heard the gospel, God's Holy Spirit broke my heart finally. And when I got up off of my knees next to that army bunk bed, I had a peace in my God heart that passed all understanding, and I still have it today. Oh, and I was just 20 years old, just 20 years old. I found myself in Vietnam as a MACV combat photographer. And I have traveled with different infantry and military organizations recording for historical purposes. And when I finally got out of there, I had a question in my heart. And I said, what's wrong with people? What's wrong with people? I was one thing when I went, and I was another thing when I came home, and we're running out of time already. I lost my faith. That was a good thing. Because I had faith in myself, and I had faith in people. And I came home, and I didn't have faith in anything. God was for Christmas and Easter and far away, if he was at all. And then I heard the gospel and how Jesus died on the cross to save me. And I realized that the problem of the world's problem, was the same problem that I have in my heart. It's a sin problem. Sin is a wall you cannot feel. It's a wound that will not heal. It's a war you cannot win. It's a way that's wrong without, within. And only God can solve that problem through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells this trinity of events in Luke chapter 15 about a person coming into the kingdom of God and how it happens. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you get this grace? It's all of God working in you. And so there are three lost things in Luke chapter 15. There's a lost coin, there's a lost sheep and there's a lost son, not in that order, but that's the significance of it, because this is a trinity of three examples of us being lost. I'm sorry, I don't want to offend anybody, but you hear people speaking in the news or on the internet or on TV, they talk about born again, this person's a born again Christian. Have you heard that? And is there any other kind? You and I have an experience, a personal experience with God. And Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity to seek and to save that which is lost. I thought I was a Christian, or at least within my head. I believed our church position and all the nice things they said. They told me I was good enough, and religion was the way. Although sometimes life can be rough, in heaven I'd be one day. I had answered all the questions. I was baptized and confirmed, but was wrong in my conceptions, as I thought God's grace is earned. If my good deeds all were greater than all the wrong I've done, were a lover, not a hater, truly heaven would be won. But I fear I was mistaken, for no man himself can save, but his sin must be forgiven and forsaken. In faith, take the gift God gave. When Jesus died on Calvary, he paid for all my sin. And now in grace I have liberty, but by grace I'll live for him. I trust in not the good I've done, but the good he's done for me. And this good work that he's begun is for all eternity. How were we lost? I was only 4 years old. My parents moved from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to Coney Island. We went one evening to the boardwalk, and I was there for the first time. I was in the sea of humanity. Before Disney World, before Six Flags Over Georgia, there was Coney Island. It was an amazing thing of carousels and Ferris wheels and roller coasters and carnival barkers, and it was like living in the middle of the Midway at the North Carolina State Fair. It was an amazing experience, and for the first time I looked around and I was just amazed at what I saw. And then I looked and realized that in all of my amazement and excitement, I was separated from my family. I didn't see my mother, I didn't see my father, didn't see my sisters, didn't see my brother. Salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is a fact on what Jesus Christ said and did as recorded in God's word. But having said that, I want to tell you this morning that I know what it feels like to be lost. I know what it feels like to be lost. I don't know exactly what happened, but the next thing I realized was a crowd of people gathered around me, and a policeman, a New York City policeman, knelt down next to me, this little guy, and he started talking to me. And then he took me by the hand and he led me through the crowd, thousands of people, like tall people with long legs and looked like the forest. And he brought me to... and bought me an ice cream cone, just like in the movies. Now, I like ice cream, but I didn't want an ice cream cone at that moment. I wanted my mother. I wanted my father. I remember that. I remember what it felt like. It's like the bottom fell out. All of you, sudden your heart fell to your feet. You to feel lost all of a sudden. And my mother must have realized that I disappeared, and she started looking around and probably calling my name. There was only one Ingemar in Brooklyn. And then she saw way in the distance a police officer, and she said, I'm going to go tell the police officers a little boy lost. And she went over and pushed her way through the crowd and finally got there. And sitting next to the policeman was yours truly, eating an ice cream cone. I was so glad to see my mother. I know what it feels like to be lost. And I know what it feels like to be found. The church, if nothing else, is a lost and found. And every single one has been born again, has a story of how one day they felt lost and one day they felt found. The coin, lost. A lady loses a coin that's hanging on a necklace around her neck, and suddenly, perhaps a family heirloom, something very precious. She searches the house up and down. She looks everywhere for this coin. But this is an example of a helpless sinner. We're born in sin. We didn't know it. We're dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says it. But we're helpless. The coin maybe rolled because it was round. It fell because it was heavy. Perhaps it fell into the corner behind the bed or hiding behind a dust bunny and nobody can see it. And because it's helpless, the coin can't say, "Hey, I'm over here. Hello. Yep, excuse me. I'm over here." Can't do that. It's helpless. It's lifeless. And Jesus went out of his way to explain that's how serious sin is. We are dead in trespasses and in sins, and we are not just sinners, we are helpless sinners. You can't help yourself. Oh, you can read all the self-help books in all of the bookstores in America, and it won't get you to heaven. You could be Minnesota nice and not get to heaven. You can never be nice enough. You're helpless. And Jesus Christ tells the story of how that coin is found. I believe that's a picture of the Holy Spirit sweeping the dust away in your own consciousness and finally revealing yourself as a sinner. The second illustration is a story of a sheep. A sheep is hapless. It's just a sheep. It lives by its belly. It lives by its stomach. It lives by its appetite. And you know people like that, just like that sheep. They eat this stalk of grass and then they see another one and they eat that one. And then there's another one over there. This is great. And they eat another one. And they keep on eating until finally they're all alone and the shepherd's not around and the flock is not around and they hear the howling of the wolves. They're in trouble. We're lost because we're, like the coin, helpless, lifeless. We're lost like the sheep because we're hapless. We don't think. I visited somebody in Sing Sing Prison in New York when we were in ministry, and I said, "What were you thinking?" And he said, "I wasn't thinking." Ah, exactly, you weren't thinking. And people need to think. Isaiah says it, you don't think high enough. David says it in Psalm 12, you don't think high enough, you don't think about God. Hapless. The coin is helpless, the sheep is hapless, but the son is heartless. Give me my inheritance. Not even going to wait for his father to kick his boots. He's not going to wait for his father to buy the farm. He's not going to wait for his father to die. He wants it now. Give me. Verse 12. See it? The younger of them said to his father, "Give me." That's the description of our generation. Everybody wants iPhones for free. Everyone wants hotel rooms for free. Everyone wants everything for free. Give me the spirit of entitlement. Give me. And that's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with people. The spirit of selfishness and entitlement, so much so they will step over the body of his own father and break his father's heart. Give me. A picture of a heartless sinner. Well, maybe you are that prodigal and God found you. Maybe you know a prodigal and you're waiting for him to come home. Don't despair. As long as there's a breath in their body, God can do in their heart what he did in yours. He could send the light, send the gospel light, and somebody will come to faith and knowledge, and you'll see that prodigal walking up the long driveway. And he's got a speech all prepared, and he's going to try to preach a sermon, and he doesn't get it finished because of the love and the kisses of his father and his father's embrace. He's welcomed home. So little time, so let me just give you an outline. Give me. That's the sinner's sedition. That's what sin is. It's sedition against God. It's a rebellion against God. It's to undermine God's word. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Give me. I'll take that fruit. Thank you very much. God says you can't have that fruit. Ah, give me. Spirit of sedition. Give me. Ah, so God takes him to a far country. That's the sinner's position. Far away from God. And that's where God found you. That's where God found me. And then he began to be in want. That's the sinner's condition. To be in want. No one ever got saved who didn't want to be saved. Somebody's going to not be waking up surprised that they're in heaven. Say, what am I doing here? No one goes to heaven who doesn't want to go to heaven. But somebody once said, nothing happens until somebody sells something. Nobody sells something until somebody buys something. And nobody buys something until somebody wants something. And nobody wants something until somebody needs something. A lot of people think they don't need Jesus. They don't need God. They don't need salvation. They don't know how dangerous their position is and their condition is, far from God. Maybe you remember when mothers used to stay home and the vacuum cleaner salesman went through the neighborhood ringing doorbells and knocking on the door. Hi, ma'am, I'm so-and-so. I have a vacuum cleaner here, hoop, super duper, handy dandy. And you said, no, thank you, I'm good. I got a vacuum cleaner. Don't need it. Don't need it. Oh, thank you. Have a good day. Don't need it. How many people have you met? How many people have I met? How many people just like me who thought, I'm good. I'm good. I'm a card-carrying member. I ring the bell. I sing in the choir. I light the candles. I'm good. No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Except a man is born again, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so that was me, and perhaps that was you. And so we get to the place where all of a sudden we see, the Bible says that the prodigal came to himself. No one was ever coming to God until first they came to themselves. And when I came to myself, I tell you, I didn't like what I saw. And the prodigal said, I have sinned. That's the sinner's admission. The sinner's admission. And then he said, I am not worthy. That's the sinner's contrition. Oh, we hang our head and we realize that there's nothing we can give to God. As long as you think there's something you can do, something you can give, that's why the Pharisees, that's why the publicans and the Pharisees murmured and the scribes murmured, because they thought that they were, okay, I'm good. I've got my tradition. And no, you need to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Come to a place in your life when you realize that the money you have in your wallet is all counterfeit. It cannot get you into heaven. You need to be born again. And the currency of heaven is righteousness, and you don't have any of that according to Isaiah. You can only get that from Jesus. And so that's the way. I'm not worthy. That's the sinner's contrition. And then he says, make me. Make me. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servant. Make me. That's the sinner's submission. We come to the place in our life where we surrender and we submit to the Lord Jesus. When I found Christ as my Savior, I didn't negotiate, I didn't bargain, I surrendered. We have a president that says, unconditional surrender. That's the unconditional. Well, that's with God. You can't have a conditional surrender with God. You can't. You're just bargaining. You need to unconditionally surrender. Come out with your hands up. Come out with your hands up. That's what you need to do. The prodigal went down the way, and all his wealth would squander, unaware he'd have to pay, and never thought to ponder the foolishness of such a choice and how much it would cost, no more to hear the Father's voice till all he had was lost. His friends were gone and he alone. When spent was his last dollar, he thought of father and of home as he stood in filth and squalor. What a fool and wretch I've been. I'm ashamed to show my face, but I will rise and call sin, sin, and go home in my disgrace. I'm not worthy to be thy son, but perhaps you need a servant. I do repent and am undone, and will try to be observant. Imagine how great was his surprise when his father did not beat him, but instead, right there before his eyes, was love and grace to meet him. Best robe and ring and fat calf bring. The father said, "Be merry." Even the angels did dance and sing. Am I happy? The answer, very. For once, I too was dead in sin, lost in the slops and swine, and by Christ's love was drawn to him. I found God's grace divine. I hope you can remember when God stepped into your life and the stream of your own personal history, that you can tell the story of how you were before and how you are today. We're not saved by works, according to Ephesians. That was my confusion. You can never be good enough. We're saved by grace. Ah, but if you keep reading, we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. I had it backwards. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for good works. And so Jesus, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he went about doing good. I don't know if you'll find somebody sitting on a curb with a cardboard sign that's lost. Don't hurry by to go to prayer meeting. Don't rush over them to go to Bible study. Just pause and tell them that God loves them so much that he sent you to tell them of his love and point them to Calvary. And they could find their way home from there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your salvation. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for this place. I pray you'd bless each believer, each disciple, each follower. I pray that you would encourage anyone that is discouraged, that you would move and motivate all of us to be lights and witnesses in this coming week, and that we would trust you and praise you and share you with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.